The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Last week, we started to read a series of 100 nice things you can do. Let's finish up with that today to start off the program. One of the things you can do is leave a nice comment on the Internet. The Internet is rife with people arguing about every topic under the sun, and it's all too easy to forget that the person on the other side of the screen is a real human being. Use your keyboard to uplift and to sympathize with, comfort, or compliment an Internet stranger. A little kindness can change a whole online conversation. Shorten your shower. Reducing the time you spend standing under the hot water not only shows kindness to the earth and to other people in your house who may also want to shower, but it can also save you money on your water bill. It's a small sacrifice for some big wins. Clean out your closet and donate to a charity. Keeping clothing and home goods that you no longer need clutters your home and your emotions. Clean up your space and do a kindness by donating your gently used items to a local charity. Think beyond for-profit thrift stores and donation centers and consider giving to homeless shelters or organizations that help battered women or children in foster care. Ask someone how they are doing and then really, really listen to them. How often do you say, "How are you?" only to hear, "Fine." And you? All the time, probably. But people aren't always fine, and many could really use a kind listening ear. If you're talking to someone you know, ask them about something specific in their lives. If it's a stranger, allow them to elaborate more if they like. The real kindness is just to listen with compassion and without judgments or interruptions. Sometimes that's the best possible thing you can do with somebody is just listen to them. Make a list of things you love about your partner. Living with someone can drain the romance out of even the best relationships, especially once you've seen the barbaric way they squeeze the toothpaste from the middle. As a counterpoint to life's daily annoyances, make a list of things you love about your partner and share it with them. Volunteer at the local food pantry in the summer. Food pantries are packed with people wanting to help at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but people get hungry year-round. Make a difference by signing up to volunteer now. As an extra, but not free, kindness, bring a bag of food with you to donate. Give someone the benefit of the doubt. How often has someone bumped into you, given you a dirty look, or even snapped at you, and your first reaction is to be offended? It's an understandable impulse, but it is also much kinder to not assume the worst about the other person and give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they lost their job, stubbed their toe, or are just having a really horrible day. Spread a little kindness by not returning anger with anger. Call the grocery store manager and compliment your checker. When you receive bad services of business, you may be quick to call and complain. But how quick are you to recognize and compliment stellar service? When someone goes out of their way to help you or goes the extra mile in their job, take a few minutes to let their boss know. Ask a nearby person to get the cereal off the top shelf of a store for you. I do that all the time because I'm taller. I've helped many a short person. Or ask them to hand you a magazine in the waiting room or for a hand up when you fall. It seems counterintuitive, but asking a small favor is an act of kindness. People love being able to help others. It's a win-win where everyone feels a little happier afterward. Plus, you don't have to climb on the shelves to get your cereal. Leave a positive online review for the sandwich shop down the street. Reviews can make or break a business, especially a smaller local one, particularly in these times. So when you find the perfect little Mexican restaurant or a stylish boutique, make sure you review them on Google or Yelp and let the world know how great they are. You're helping the business owner and helping your neighbors find a local gem. It's one of the random acts of kindness you can do without even leaving your home. Give a little blood. Blood banks are almost always in need of a fresh supply, and for the price of 15 minutes and a needle stick, you could help save a life. If you have a needle phobia or can't donate blood, you can always volunteer your time at the blood bank, sweeping floors or handing out cookies and juice. Put the dishes in the dishwasher. Dishes are such a small thing, but since we use them every day, the dirty cups, plates, bowls, and silverware accumulate quickly. Do the others in your household a kindness by putting the dishes in the dishwasher whenever you see them in the sink, even if they aren't yours. Carry a pack of sticky notes and a marker. Want to leave a quick compliment for a coworker, a lunch note for a child, a love letter for a spouse, or even "you're doing better than you think you are" boost for a stranger? Carry a pack of sticky notes and a colored marker so whenever the kind impulse strikes you, you're ready. Tell your kid one thing they really do well. As parents, your job is to correct and teach your child. but don't let those comments outnumber your kind and loving observations. Pointing out a talent your child has, recognizing a chore they completed, or acknowledging a recent success will make them feel awesome in the moment, and that moment may stay with them forever. Take your shopping cart all the way back to the store. Nothing is more annoying for shoppers or store employees than finding random shopping carts shoved up on curbs, wedged between parked cars, and worst of all, roaming freely through the parking lot where they might roll into a car door. At the very least, put your securities in a cart corral. But for real kindness, take the 50 steps and walk it back to the store. Set up a neighborhood carpool. Watch out for the environment and the neighborhood kids by setting up carpools for local trips, school runs, soccer teams, and other activities. Brush up your CPR skills. CPR can be a powerful tool for saving the life of a loved one or a stranger, but only if you remember how to do it. Brush up your skills with a refresher course from the Red Cross. While you're at it, make sure you've got a stocked first aid kit in your car and know how to use it. You never know when you'll need it. Handwrite and deliver a thank you note. In this day of email and texting, a handwritten note is a rarity and shows the person took extra thought and care into choosing their words and making sure you got the message. Send a thank you note to an old teacher. Reach out to a college friend or send a romantic letter to your partner. Thank a veteran for their service. The next time you see a veteran or an active member of the military, take a few minutes to thank him for the service to our country and for their personal sacrifice. Donate your extra candy. If it's around Halloween or another candy-filled holiday, donate your extra treat to others in need of a sweet smile. You can give it to Operation Gratitude, which sends care packages to our troops. Offer to babysit for a friend. Being a new mom or dad is tough, and parenting doesn't get any easier over the next 18 years. Taking your friend's kid for an hour or two is a wonderful act of kindness, and it can make the difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and peace. Leave extra coupons for the item at the store. Got a few extra minutes in a weekly ad? Tear out coupons and leave any you don't use on the product at the store. It will save someone else a few bucks and bring a smile to their face. It's like a surprise scavenger hunt where everyone wins. Let someone merge in front of you on the highway. Boy, that's a good one. Road rage can easily overcome your better emotions, especially when in high-pressure driving situations like jammed freeways. Help keep everyone calm and happy on their commute by letting someone merge in front of you, even if they don't deserve it. It's quick, easy to do, and it may even help lower your blood pressure, too. Give someone encouragement at the gym. It's pretty much a fact of life. Everyone feels at least a little self-conscious and awkward at the gym. After all, you're doing really weird movements by wearing relatively little clothing. Give someone else encouragement and kudos for their hard work by offering a friendly smile, a thumbs up, a helping hand, or even a word of encouragement. Volunteer to be the designated driver. Keep your friends and family safe and happy by making sure they make it home after a night out. By volunteering to be the designated driver once in a while, you offer a valuable service to your pals and to the public. Mow your neighbor's lawn. You've already got the mower out, powered up, and ready to go. So why not take a few minutes to mow your neighbor's stretch that borders yours too? Or go the extra mile and mow your whole lawn. This is a specially kind service for the elderly, disabled, or single parents. I have a cousin who lives in Colorado, and several years ago she purchased a snowblower, because they get a lot of snow in Colorado, obviously. And she let her neighbor borrow it, and the neighbor said, "Well, look, I'll tell you what, if you let me borrow your snowblower to blow off my driveway, then I'll blow off your driveway as well at the same time." And that's worked out perfectly for her because she's kind of my age. She's not young. And it's worked out really well. So that she got a double thing on it. He got the use of a snowblower, and she got her stuff blown off. So, yeah, that's easy to do. Pick up trash at the beach. Bring an extra garbage bag on your next outdoor adventure to pick up extra trash along with your own as you go. Sure, if you didn't make that mess, but it would just take you a few minutes to clean it up and make the outdoors a little bit more beautiful for everyone. And here's a good one. Give a stranger a compliment. Giving someone a non-creepy compliment, think, "You have a lovely smile. You're really great at your job. I love your shoes," can make their day. For some inspiration, just think about what you can do. Last night I was in the theater, and this woman about my age, maybe a little younger, she had this most beautiful piece of jewelry hanging around her neck. Her neck's about a pendant. And I took off my mask. Yes, we're back to wearing masks. Took off my mask and said, I love that pendant. It's beautiful. And it just really seemed to flatter her. She really seemed to enjoy my compliment. Nothing forward about it or anything. I was with my girlfriend, so I wasn't flirting. Offered to take a photo. Next time you're in a popular tourist spot, an event or gathering, or a picturesque landmark, chances are you'll spot a group of young, or maybe not so young, people trying to take a selfie, or one member of a group taking pictures of everyone else. Ask them if you'd like to take a picture of all of them together. And guess what? I did that. We were at a show of Van Gogh things, and outside there was a big display of a bunch of sunflowers. And there was a group of about 15 women, and one of them was taking a picture of the whole group without her. And I said, look, let me take that picture. And sure enough, I took the picture for him, and one of the women was so appreciative, she took a picture of me and my girlfriend. So it was an equal benefit for both of us. Hold the door. Random acts of kindness don't get much simpler than this. Rather than let a door swing behind you when you go through it, see if there's anyone behind you and hold it open for them. Clear the table. If you're at a dinner party or simply sitting down for a meal with the family, don't just scoop up your own dishes and be on your way. Making sure everyone is done eating first, of course, take a couple more plates with you on your way to the kitchen. Especially if someone else did the cooking, your fellow diners are sure to appreciate the gesture. Say, this made me think of you. Hear a song on the radio that you used to belt out with your old buddies? Drive by a spot that a family member used to bring to you when you were little? It's easy to take the moment for granted and let it pass, but the next time it happens, give the person a call or a text. Tell them what you saw and that it reminded you of great times with them. Maybe they remember it too, maybe they don't. Either way, you'll probably just brighten their day. Use leftovers. Americans throw out an exorbitant amount of food every day. If you can't eat everything you make in one sitting, don't toss it. Most food will last at least until the next day. Many others can last even longer if you freeze them. Not only will this help reduce food waste, but it also save you time and money, since you already have a future meal or two ready to go. Pick up groceries. Next time you make a run to the grocery store or the department store, shoot a text to your family or your roommates asking if there's anything they'd like you to pick up for them. Keep the receipt so they can pay you back. They'll be grateful if you saved them the trip. Help out your mail carrier. If it's brutally cold or rainy outside, you can imagine it's probably a rough day to be a postal carriage or a garbage collector. When you see them, offer them a cup of hot chocolate. The same goes for scorching hot days. Keep some cold water or lemonade on hand. Or for a COVID-19-friendly alternative, place a basket on your porch with some prepackaged drink and snacks with a note inviting them to take one. Check in. If someone you know has recently gone through a loss, a hospital stint, or even just sent a kid off to college, check on them and ask how they're doing. In addition to the immediate aftermath of the loss, reach out to them after 3 weeks or a month and let them know you're still thinking of them. When people go through a tough time, support usually pours in for the first few weeks and then subsides. But the person could still be having a difficult time weeks later and be sure to appreciate your kind words. Ask for a recipe. If you're eating someone else's cooking and you discover something especially delicious, go beyond just telling them how good it tastes. Ask for the recipe. This is the ultimate way to give your compliments and to the chef, and they'll enjoy a nice self-esteem boost as well. Grab lunch with a new coworker. The first day at a new job can be nerve-wracking. If there's a new face in your office, ask them if they want to grab lunch with you or simply offer to show them around the office. Thanks to this simple gesture, they'll feel comforted knowing that you're a friendly face. Swap seats on public transportation. If you're on a crowded bus, train, or plane and you see a family get on board and start scanning the crowd for adjacent seats, offer to move so that the parents and kids can sit together. They might be too shy to speak up and ask right, but chances are they won't turn down the chance to sit together. And that ends the nice things you can do. So let's look at the Reader's Digest proper here. And there's a thing from the editor-in-chief called Friends First. David Yellen and I became unlikely friends in college despite our differences. Stocky versus lanky, Jersey versus California, Jewish versus Catholic, smart and sober versus less so. For your information, I'm in the latter status. David has a knack for connecting across divides. He married an African-American woman from South Dakota. He's still close to his family's Italian foreign exchange student from his youth. He's got friendships with people of all types from all over because he says what he means and no more. And he does it with a twinkle in his eye and a delighted laugh. A decade ago, he told me a story that I couldn't get out of my mind. I won't rehash it here because it appears in Friends in High Places, marking the anniversary of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. But it's about his friendships with Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia, the two justices unlikely to bond with each other. The two legal combatants not only were opposed politically, but were on different planets personally. Ginsburg, impeccably dignified, Scalia, gruffly acerbic. Yet for decades, they were inseparable. After Ginsburg's husband, Marty, died of cancer, Scalia could barely talk about it without tearing up. If you've been reading this note during the last 5 years, you know it's no accident that my final one as editor-in-chief is about how a human's connection can trump any divide. It's one of my favorite topics, and David's too. But if the truth be known, it's as much my your theme as it is ours. In fact, RD readers, including millions of Ginsburg's liberals, millions of Scalia conservatives, and every ideological flavor in between. If you've made this magazine into a rare place in America where people with sharply different views are friends first. Thank you for that example and for the chance to deliver stories like David's. I will miss you all. I've so enjoyed laughing together at each other's jokes, crying over the same stories, and not let anything get in the way. So I guess this is a goodbye from Bruce Kelly. And since we skipped a couple months here, these are the letters from the June issue. These tips on the many ways smartphones are useful were very informative. However, you're no help when a friend's 7-year-old sees you make a call and says, "Look, Mom, he has a flip phone." On the information superhighway, I am roadkill. Ted Smith in Hickory, North Carolina. I cry for the mountains. David Daly's account of one of California's worst wildfires is absolutely right, and unfortunately it has an end. Decades of overzealous fire suppression and abolishment of logging on public lands have led to serious overgrowth, leaving our forest unhealthy and vulnerable. The forest has been taking care of itself for thousands of years. It still can. Until we are willing to look in the mirror and accept the blame, we'll never solve the problem. And this is from Robert Carlson, Miwok Village, California. A dementia that can be cured. How many people suffer with normal pressure hydrocephalus, a treatable disease whose symptoms resemble those of Alzheimer's, and chalk it up to aging? My father began experiencing the symptoms 7 years ago. For sure, his doctor knew about NPH and diagnosed him correctly. A shunt was put in and Dad was back to his old self. Anyone noticing the hallmark signs, be sure to get checked out. Sibelity Watts in Burton, Ohio. So you've had it rough. Good. I was fortunate to spend 4 years as a hospice nurse. It was my observation that patients who experienced the Great Depression and World War II were tough as nails. Although elderly and ill, they were resolute in trying to get well. It was an attitude I noticed in my own mom. She always found a reason to live, a wedding, a birth, her 100th birthday. Only at the age of 101 was she ready to go, AM via email. Robots gone wild. I read this story with great interest, especially the part about using artificial intelligence to create recipes, which all came out nonsensically. I own a Mahjong set whose instruction read, "Souffle the tiles." Sounds like an instruction in one of those AI recipes. Dana Campbell, Chico, California. With open arms at last. The story about Pat Pribble's old classmates atoning for their bullying in adulthood shows that repentance and forgiveness are real, and that people really do change. We live in a time when it has become sport to dig up old photos or statements that cast people in an unfavorable light. All the successes and positive impact a person might have on the interim is deemed irrelevant. Thank you for reminding us it doesn't have to be this way. Chana Katz, New York, New York. 13 Things. My brother and I are both anomesic, born without a sense of smell. So I appreciate that it was mentioned in your list of facts about smell. Our mom once did an experiment to test us. While the three kids played up, she made popcorn in the kitchen. The only one who came downstairs was our oldest sibling. My brother had no idea that it was, and I had no idea it was there. Sophie Katz, Peoria, Illinois. My goodness, that would be terrible. Fostering love. Parenthood isn't a title earned by giving birth. It requires tremendous sacrifice and love to earn it. My grandparents raised me, and I am who I am because of them. I say Mitch Albom shouldn't have any qualms about his adoptive child, Chica. She's his daughter, and he's earned the title. Some people think about doing good. Some talk about doing good. But the Albums actually do good. Love is a verb, and it resonates deeply in their hearts. What a blessing they are to Chica and she to her. Everyday Heroes. And there's a picture of a young girl with a San Francisco baseball hat, club hat on, holding a bunch of baseball cards, and a Giants t-shirt on. She's a cute little thing. She's got blonde hair, big smile. Reese Osterberg showing off her new collection. Stepping up to the plate, a longtime baseball collector seizes the opportunity to good after a destructive wildfire. When 10-year-old Reese Osterberg lost her Fresno County, California home to one of the largest fires in our state history early last fall, she had a very pressing concern. Did anyone grab her baseball cards? No one had. With a house full of kids and dogs and a farm's worth of horses to evacuate, the family forgot the cards and in distress. Naturally, the diehard San Francisco's Giant fan and Little League lefty with a swing as smooth as butter was upset. When she watched the Giants on TV, she would lay out each player's card on the floor in its corresponding field position. I like baseball cards because they are a picture of people's doing happy stuff, doing what they love and what I love, says Reese. Reese's loss touched the hearts of the Fresno County Fire Department, which posted her stories on its Facebook page with a plea to help Reese restock her baseball card collection. That in turn touched the heart of Kevin Ashford. Ashford knew exactly where Reese could find replacement cards, in his garage. He had more than 25,000 in his collection, with a ballpark value of $35,000 to $50,000. Ashford had been thinking about selling them when he saw the fire department's post. I wasn't really doing anything with them, says Ashford. I thought I could take care of this problem rather quickly. First responders transported the car from Ashford's garage to theirs and then surprised Reese during a tour of the firehouse. Towers of Ashford cards were stacked in front of the fire engine. After thanking Ashford, especially the Buster Posey, her favorite Giant, Reese, ever the team player, was quick to share the thousands of baseball cards she received from Ashford and donors around the country with other kids affected by the California Creek fire. She's gotten so many, in fact, that she started Cards from Reese, an organization that collects cards and donates them to those in need. Reese is especially happy to part with Los Angeles Dodger cards. As he explains it, go Giants! Kindness Delivered, and is a picture of an African-American gentleman and an Oriental gentleman. Bebe and Chu were their name. The email request came in from to Ekibon Restaurant in Baltimore late on a Thursday afternoon in March. Tempura broccoli topped with fresh herbs, diced onion, and fermented cucumber vinegar with a twist. The man who sent the email didn't actually want the food himself. He was writing on behalf of his mother-in-law, who adored the dish. He went on to explain that she was now in the final stages of lung cancer at her home in Vermont, and that he was hoping to get the recipe to make it for her there. Steve Chu, one of the Asian Fusion's restaurant's co-owners, read the email and quickly replied with an alternative suggestion. Thanks for reaching out, he wrote. We'd like to meet you in Vermont and make it fresh for you. Brandon Jones, the son-in-law, was stunned. I emailed back saying, you do know that this is Vermont we're talking about, right, says Brandon. But Steve responded, no problem. You tell us the date, time, and location, and we'll be there. For the past 6 years, every time Brandon's mother-in-law, who asked that her name not be published, visited Baltimore, the first place she wanted to go was Ekibon, so she could order that one dish. She loves that broccoli, and I really wanted to have it one more time, Brandon says. She had always told us, when I'm on my deathbed, I want that broccoli, recalls Brandon's wife, Rena Jones. That Friday after work, a day after receiving Brandon's email, Chu loaded his truck with a hot plate and a cooler filled with ingredients, and then headed for Vermont with his business partner, Ephraim Adebe, and an employee. They stayed overnight at an Airbnb rental and drove the next day to the condo where Rena's mother lived. As soon as Chu and his team pulled into the parking lot, they got to work. They pulled down the gate of the pickup, hooked up the hot plate to the truck's power port, and started cooking and deep frying. In addition to broccoli tempura, they made tofu with peanut sauce and fresh herbs and some steamed rice. After neatly boxing everything up, they knocked on the customer's door. Go ahead and answer, Rena's mother told her. Rena told her mother. As soon as she opened the door, she recognized the aroma, Brandon said. It smelled amazing. Rena said their mother also recognized Chu and his co-workers. My mom kept saying, I don't understand. You drove all the way up here to cook for me? She was so happy and touched to have that broccoli. She couldn't believe it. As for Chu, he couldn't help remember his loyal customer. She always stood out, he says. She loves the food and made sure to tell us. She's an amazing, sweet lady. The Joneses invited Chu and his team to join them for dinner, but they needed to get back to Baltimore. Chu also wouldn't accept any money from the family. It was an honor to help fulfill the family's wishes, Chu said. This is about her, not us. There was a lot of good, positive energy in doing this. Brina was happy that her mother was able to enjoy her beloved broccoli with a side order of remarkable kindness one last time. My mom cried later about their generosity, and so did I, Rena says. I'll carry that positive memory with me always. I'm sure most of you realize that this program is recorded early, and it's actually, I'm recording this on the 26th of August, and today is the Day of the Dog. So in honor of that, I'm going to read 15 Best Dogs for Seniors. Dogs help keep people healthy and provide companionship was a boon for all, but especially for the older generation. Find out the best dog for seniors. Affectionate, loyal, nurturing. There are lots of reasons why dogs make great companions for seniors. Not only do dogs provide comfort and friendship, but they also help keep seniors healthy and encourage sociability. In fact, a 2019 study found that people who owned dogs were more likely to maintain better heart health and be more active than those without pets. Dogs give seniors a reason to get up and move, and walking a dog keeps them fit, explains Anna Nikershawan, DVM, a veterinarian at VCA Mid-Park Animal Hospital in Middleburg Heights, Ohio. Another plus, when you get out of the house for that walk, you have more chances to be social, too, from greeting neighbors on the street to impromptu conversations with fellow dog owners. But adopting a dog is a big decision. Just like a human companion, you need to understand what you're looking for in a dog before committing to a long-term living arrangement. Some important points to think about as you search for the best dog for seniors are energy levels. Vet often recommend calm dog breeds for older folks. The size of your home, these are best apartment dogs, and the size of the dog's breed, socialness, some breeds like Pomeranians make the best emotional support dogs, and a dog's age and temperament. Health and grooming needs and maintenance requirements, i.e., how often dogs need to be brushed, for instance, are also important considerations. Cocker Spaniel, while super cute with their big long ears, are also known for having frequent ear infections, for instance. And while Havanese, one of the cutest white dog breeds, are very portable, they also require a lot of grooming. The decision to adopt a pet is not one that should be taken lightly. Bring a pet into the household is a lifelong decision for the animal, says Dr. Kincher-Giron. But after thoroughly considering your situation and needs, it's comforting to know, as Dr. Kincher-Giron says, that there is a dog for everyone at every age. And here are the top 15 best dogs for seniors with breed overviews using info from the American Kennel page. The best overall is the Bichon Frise. These white powder puff dogs are known for their sweet and friendly nature and are perfect for seniors seeking easy companionship. They also make great pets for first-time dog owners. These low-maintenance pups aren't difficult to potty train and don't shed much, is why they are one of the best dogs for older people. But to keep their snow-white hair looking fluffy, they do require grooming every 5 or so weeks. Bichons are gentle and playful, and they get along well with other pets and children, so you don't need to put them in another room if the grandkids stop by. At an average of 7 to 12 pounds, they're also super portable, not to mention smart. One of my favorite Bichons knew how to give a kiss in 3 different languages, one of which was Portuguese, says Dr. Kishan Juan. Like the best toy dogs, they are perfectly content to sit on your lap for hours every morning as you read the paper or watch the news. Bichon Frises don't require a long 2-mile hike to keep them happy. Rather, they're fine with the 20 to 30 minute leisurely strolls. What they crave most is attention, something seniors often have time to give. And there's a little information about them. Their height is 9.5 to 11.5 inches. They weigh 12 to 18 pounds, and their life expectancy is 14 to 15 years. The best lap dog, Cavalier Qinglong King Charles Spaniel. If you're looking for one of the best dogs for older people, Cavalier King Charles Spaniel should be high on your list. It's easy to fall in love with their big eyes and long ears, and Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, in turn, like nothing more to kiss and cuddle with their owners. Cavalier King Charles Spaniels have an eager-to-please personality, which make them easier to train. They also only require a moderate amount of exercise, which can be good for less active seniors. Beauty, of course, requires attention, and it's suggested that they brush their long, luxurious coat once a day, which isn't hard to do, considering they're one of the best lapdog breeds. Their height is 12 to 13 inches, their weight is 13 to 18 pounds, and their life expectancy is 12 to 15 years. The best apartment dog is a pug. The pug's motto is, a lot and a little, and that's perfect description to describe this vivacious breed. Small in size, pugs weigh on the average of 14 to 18 pounds. They are easy to manage and handle. Their expressive faces and amiable dispositions make them great companions for seniors and one of the most gentle dog breeds. Pugs adore their owners and are known for following them around. There's a reason they sometimes go little shadows. With their tendency to prefer sleep over exercise, pugs make excellent apartment dogs, though they are just as happy in a house. Keeping with their undiva-like personality, they are easy to groom and care for. When you adopt a pug, you make a friend for life. Their height is 10 to 13 inches, and their life expectancy is 13 to 15 years. The best small dog is a Maltese. One of the best small dogs for seniors is the Maltese. These adorable white toy dogs were specifically bred to be companions, loyal, sweet-natured, calm, and adaptable. It's not hard for a Maltese to quickly become seniors' best four-legged friend. Although they love following their owners around, all they really need for health is short, easy walks. At an average of 4 to 7 pounds, Malteses are easily transportable, which is a good thing since Malteses don't like to be left alone for too long. Their small size also makes them well-suited for apartments or homes. With limited space, you can't mention a Maltese without mentioning their long, silky white mane, which could be braided or put into a bun. For persons who want a living Barbie doll and loves playing with hair, Malteses are your dog. But if all that grooming becomes too much, you can have them trimmed or shaped down. They're 7 to 9 inches tall, they weigh under 7 pounds, and they live 12 to 15 years. The most social dogs are the Havanese. Now, I've never heard of that breed, but they're a cute dog. Sweet, friendly, and eager for attention, Havanese make great companions for seniors who find themselves at home more. As a breed, Havanese don't like to be alone for very long. They're the reason they're called Velcro dogs. These super social dogs crave affection and get along well with other breeds and strangers. Their high intelligence makes them easier to train and potty train. At about 10 pounds, they're easy to carry. Walks might take a bit longer with Havanese because they will want to try to say hi to everyone. But for seniors looking for sociability, this is not such a bad thing. That's why Havanese are one of the best dogs for seniors. They're 8.5 to 11.5 inches tall, they weigh from 7 to 13 pounds, and they'll live from 14 to 16 years. Best house dog is a miniature schnauzer. Miniature schnauzers are one of the most adaptable breeds of dogs. Originally bred as a farm dog in Germany, miniature schnauzers are just as contented living in an assisted living facility as they are roaming outdoors. Small, sturdy, hyperallergenic, and affectionate. Miniature schnauzers are great with, say, rambunctious grandchildren. And their calmness and attunement to the moods of human make them excellent therapy animals. Miniature schnauzers both play hard and relax hard. They need a moderate amount of daily exercise, but are also good at simply lounging around while their owners watch TV or make dinner. They're 12 to 14 inches tall, they weigh 11 to 20 pounds, and they live 12 to 15 years normally. The best large dog, believe it or not, is a greyhound. With their lean bodies, flexible spines, and long legs, greyhounds are best known for their athletic ability and for being the fastest dog breed. What is not as well known is that their gentle and sensitive temperament and minimal grooming needs make them one of the best dogs for seniors. Older, retired racing greyhounds are often the best choice for seniors. As racing dogs, they often live on a track without much positive human and social interaction, the vet says. When they're adopted, they're far more appreciative of the loving home you're providing and don't seem to take it for granted. And although they do need daily exercise, greyhounds, perhaps surprisingly, are renowned for their laziness. Weighing anything from 60 to 75 pounds, these gentle giants are content to lounge around the house, accepting pets and back rubs. They're 20 to 30 inches tall, they're 60 to 70 pounds, and they'll live 10 to 13 years normally. Best with the grandkids, the Golden Retriever. Golden Retrievers are a large breed with an even larger heart. For seniors looking for gentle dog breeds, Golden Retrievers are loyal, friendly, intelligent people pleasers. They are easy to train, famous for their patience, and great with the grandkids. Golden Retrievers do require consistent hard exercise every day, but they are more than content for the part of that exercise to consist of finding and retrieving balls in the backyard. Though Golden Retrievers can weigh up to 75 pounds, they still think of themselves as lap dogs. Golden Retrievers are happy to sit with you on the patio at the end of the day, with their head in your lap, just watching the sunset. Breed overview is the height is 21 to 24 inches, 55 to 75 pounds, and they'll live 10 to 12 years normally. And the best hyperallergenic, the toy poodle. For seniors with allergies or respiratory issues, poodles are one of the best hyperallergenic dog breeds. Poodles have a single-layer coat that doesn't shed, although all that beautiful, naturally curly hair requires a lot of brushing and grooming. They come in multiple sizes, from tiny teacup poodles that weigh between 3 and 5 pounds, to small toy poodles that weigh between 6 and 9 pounds, to miniature poodles that weigh between 15 to 17 pounds, to standard poodles that weigh between 45 to 70 pounds. Like the best sort of human companion, poodles are known for both their beauty and their brains. Their high intelligence makes them easy to train, helpful for seniors, and their affectionate personality makes them easy to love. The smaller toy poodle is a top choice for seniors. 10 inches max height, 4 to 6 pounds weight, 10 to 18 years, they'll live that long. That's the longest living one. Best Boggs for those who like a clean house is a Golden Doodle. A cross between poodles and golden retrievers, Golden Doodles, which weigh between 50 to 90 pounds, are known for possessing the best traits of both breeds. They're loyal, obedient, and loving. For seniors with allergies or those who prefer to avoid daily vacuum, Golden Doodles, who mostly don't shed and are hyperallergenic, make great companions. You don't need to have an experienced pet owner to adopt one. Golden Doodles' intelligence and easygoing temperament make them easy to train. Golden Doodles do love exercise, though, especially swimming. Bonus points if you're a senior that lives by a body of water. Their height is 19 to 24 inches, their weight is 30 to 45 pounds, and their life expectancy is 10 to 15 years. Best for active seniors, Westies. Recognizable by their white mane and dark almond-shaped eyes, the West Highland White Terrier, a.k.a. Westie, are friendly, loving companions for active seniors. At 13 to 20 pounds, Westies are still small enough to handle and make good apartment dogs, as long as they get in their long daily walks. Westies really, really like to play. Westies are no softies, though. Beneath their coat is a well-muscled body. Bred to be rodent killers, Westies require little pampering, and they rarely shed. For seniors looking for a little bit of excitement in their days, Westies will be sure to keep you on your toes. They're 10 to 11 inches tall, 15 to 20 pounds, and they'll live 13 to 15 years normally. For the best dog that doesn't bark, a Shih Tzu. The name Shih Tzu means little lion, but the most fierce thing about this breed is their love for the owner. Shih Tzus bond very quickly with humans, making them great choices for seniors looking for a close canine companion. Weighing an average of 9 to 16 pounds, Shih Tzus, known for their long coats, pack a lot of personality in their small frame. They are a confident, happy-go-lucky breed with a bit of stubborn streak, but they are less demanding and less yappy than other smaller toy dogs, making them a good choice for seniors who live in apartments. They are also not very energetic and only need a couple of short walks a day, making them perfect for non-active seniors. Their height is 9 to 10 and a half inches, their weight is 9 to 16 pounds, and their life expectancy is 10 to 18 years. And the easiest dog to care for is a French Bulldog. With their big eyes, adorable scrunchy faces, and short legs, there's a reason why French Bulldogs are the second most popular breed in the United States today, and one of the easiest dog breeds. Their gentle personality and low energy makes them one of the best dogs for seniors with a less active lifestyle. These dogs are not big athletes, so walking around the block is all this exercise they need for the day. French Bulldogs' small size, they weigh between 19 to 28 pounds, and the fact that they are not big barkers or yappers also make them one of the best apartment dogs. As an additional bonus, they are excellent cuddlers and incredibly loyal. 11 to 13 inches tall, under 28 pounds in weight, and life expectancy is 10 to 11, 12 years. The best dog is a Pomeranian. 3 to 7 pounds, really a tack dog. Pomeranians look like tiny puffballs. Their small size and affectionate personality make them easy to love, and their ability to remain calm in busy situations also makes them one of the best emotional support dogs. Pomeranians, whose hair comes in a variety of colors from white to black to cream, don't seem to realize their small size. They are very alert, with a tendency to bark, making them excellent guard dogs for seniors. Although Pomeranians are lap dogs, they also have an independent streak, so active seniors don't have to worry about Pomeranians clinging like a barnacle to them all day. Sometimes it's good to have a little space. Height, 6 to 7 inches. Weight, 3 to 7 pounds. Life expectancy, 12 to 16 years. And the best dogs for senior with a yard is a beagle. For seniors who love being outdoors and would like an impetus to exercise more, beagles are a good choice. Energetic, active, and sociable, beagles love to play and take long walks. And unlike other smaller dogs, they don't require a ton of babysitting. They're fine, content even being left alone for a while. For seniors who don't love playing, beautician, beagles with their short, dense, wash-and-wear coat are a good choice. They are pretty low maintenance when it comes to grooming. Younger beagles require consistent exercise, so seniors might find adopting an older beagle a less physically demanding choice. The height is 13 to 15 inches, they weigh 20 to 30 pounds, and their life expectancy is 10 to 15 years. And better late than never, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. How to build a healthier salad. How to make it tasty and nutritious, plus we rate salad dressings. Salad reputation as the ultimate health food is well deserved. People who eat greens and veggies on any given day take in more fiber, potassium, vitamin K, and other valuable nutrients than those who don't. For some, though, a string of E. coli outbreaks in recent years tied to leafy greens have dimmed salad's star. So have articles about salads being ruined by calorie salt-packed ingredients like bacon bits, cheese, and croutons, and fatty dressing. But it would be a shame to miss salads from your diet. The elements of a perfect salad are toss with dressing. Control calories and sodium by sticking with 2 tablespoons. Try periodically measure 2 tablespoons of your favorite dressing so you know what a serving looks like. Top with something crunchy. Texture makes a salad more interesting. Use 2 tablespoons of sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts, pecans, almonds, or roasted chickpeas. Make it a meal. Adding 3 ounces of protein, 1/2 cup of whole grains, or both will help you stay fuller longer. Try beans, endomame, grilled chicken, canned tuna, hard-boiled eggs, or tofu. Try farro, quinoa, fricassee, barley, or bulgur. Throw in some more starchy vegetables. They're low-cal, nutrient-packed, filling, and flavorful. Add 3 or 4 for a total of 1 cup. Try cucumbers, tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, peppers, avocado, carrots, cauliflower, sugar snap peas, snow peas, celery beets, or radishes. Add a sweet or salty extra. Fruit, olives, and cheese provide a flavor contrast. Include 1 or more, 1/4 cup for cheese or olives, and up to 1/2 cup of fruit. Try apples, strawberries, blueberries, peaches, nectarines, grapes, oranges, olives, Parmesan cheese, cheddar cheese, goat cheese, or blue cheese. Use dark greens. Dark equals more vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Aim for 2 cups. Kale, arugula, spinach, mesculum, or romaine. Eating a salad goes a long way toward helping you get the 2 to 4 cups of vegetables you should have in a day, something just 1 out of 10 America does, says Amy Keating, Reader's Digest, a nutritionist at Consumer Reports. I'm sorry, that's RD, is registered dietitian. Sorry about that. You get to build a tasty meal without relying on less nutritious toppings. More good news. Nutritionists actually recommend salad dressing, provided you pick the right one. A dressing that tastes good and is good for you will encourage you to eat more veggies, says Newell Escobar, RDN, at Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. CR's nutrition and food tasting team zeroed in on ranch and raspberry vinaigrettes. I just had raspberry vinaigrettes night before last. 2 of the most popular types of dressing and scouted the supermarkets for brands. They found that while many salad dressings are loaded with added sugars and sodium, there are others with low amounts to choose from. Nor do you need to be overly concerned about calories or fat in the dressings. The fat is mostly the hard, healthy, unsaturated type, and a little fat helps you absorb more of the salad's nutrients. Greens and other vegetables offer a lot of nutrition, Keating says, so as long as you're mindful of salad add-ons and dressing portion sizes, the dressing shouldn't weigh you down too much. Safety first. Not too long ago, reports of leafy greens contaminated with type of E. coli bacteria that can make you sick were common. Between 2006 and 2019, romaine lettuce and other greens were involved in at least 46 multi-state E. coli outbreaks, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. One likely reason? Most commercial leafy greens grown in the U.S. come from areas where cattle, a main source of E. coli, are also raised. But in the past 2 years, there's been just 1 multi-state outbreak related to leafy greens in the fall of 2020. It's unclear exactly why contamination appears to be on the decline, although the Food and Drug Administration recently noted that the industry has improved how it grows, harvests, and packages the greens. Food nutrition and safety experts also say you should keep the risk in perspective. Donald Schaefer, Ph.D., a distinguished professor of food science at Rutgers University in New Jersey, says that while foodborne disease outbreaks can be devastating, the number of people getting sick from them each year is actually quite small, while the benefits of regularly consuming leafy greens are substantial. You can also take a few safety steps yourself. Washing greens with water won't get rid of bacteria, but a 10-minute soak in white vinegar might help. Rinse afterward and remove the vinegary taste. And to stay informed on outbreaks, follow FDA Food and USDA Food Safety on Twitter, or sign up for email alerts from both agencies. Nicely dressed. It hasn't always been easy to find a store-bought dressing that's both delicious and good for you, but the landscape is changing, with some brands using high-quality ingredients and limiting the added sugars and sodium that can downgrade a dressing's nutrition profile. But not all dressings are created equal. CR's testers thought most of the vinaigrettes tasted good, but we recommended only one, Annie's Organic Light Raspberry Vinaigrette. It had the least sodium, just 55 milligrams in 2 tablespoons, and was among those with the least added sugars. 4 grams per serving, or a teaspoon's worth. Others had up to 7 grams of added sugar. The American Heart Association advises consuming no more than 25 grams of added sugars a day for women and 36 grams for men. But some did score low on taste, in part because they didn't have much berry flavor. More ranch dressing earned the CR's recommendation. On the whole, they had more sodium than vinaigrettes, ranging from 150 milligrams to 250 milligrams in 2 tablespoons. That's more than 10% of the recommended daily maximum of 2,300 milligrams per day for adults. And Keating says, considering the small serving size, it's a lot. Still, none of the ranch versions had more than a gram of sugar, and they were surprisingly low in unhealthy saturated fat. Compared with vinaigrettes, where most of the fat comes from olive oil or other vegetable oils and is unsaturated, creamy dreffins often contain dairy, and that can dump up their saturated fat content. But none of the ranches had more than 2.5 grams. Bolthouse Farms Classic Ranch Yogurt Dressing has less than a gram and just 45 calories and got very high marks for taste. The ranch dressings tend to taste better than the vinaigrettes. Many had the traditional ranch combo of creamy and tangy, but some went in more unusual but still flavored directions, creamy but with lemony, mustardy, or nutty undertones. Dressed up labels. Labels on salad dressing bottles can be full of health claims. They may also tout ingredients with your reputation, deserved or not, for being healthy, giving the impression that you'll be pouring something extra good on your greens. Here are dressing label decoder for some common tricky terms. Light. A dressing label light or light, L-I-T-E or L-I-G-H-T, must have half the fat or less of original version. Dressing with this claim often have water or vinegar in place of some of the oil and tend to have more added sugars. Contains avocado or avocado oil. Both have healthy fat, but so do most oils. What's more, even when an ingredient like avocado is called out on a label, there may be very little of it in the product. If it's not high on the ingredient list, it's not a main component. Keto. This typically means dressing is higher in fat and lower in carbohydrates, but high fat, low carb describes practically any salad dressing. No artificial preservatives. Some experts advise avoiding certain artificial preservatives such as sodium benzoate, BHE, and BHT. So look for this claim if you want to avoid these preservatives, or read the ingredients list. Many dressings without preservatives don't note the absence on their label. Cage-free eggs. This means the hens weren't raised in a cage, but they still could have been packed into a building with thousands of other birds. There's no nutritional difference between cage-free eggs and others. No artificial flavors. Natural flavors must come from a plant or animal, but can be extracted in a lab with chemicals. They can be made from any components which don't have to be identified in the ingredients list. Plant-based. While there's no official definition, this term should tell you that there are no animal products such as cheese or buttermilk in the dressing. To be sure, read the ingredients list. Expeller pressed. This means that the oil was extracted with a mechanical press, not by using the solvent hexane like most oils. It's unclear if trace amounts of hexane in oil is unhealthy, but the chemical may pose a risk to the environment and to the workers if they inhale it. Now let's hear from the president. CR's handy new home app. Home ownership is an incredible achievement, and when you're handed the keys to your home, it can even feel as if you won a race. But as many of us have learned, the work has only just begun at that moment. The race, it turns out, is actually a lifelong marathon of maintenance. From fixing your appliances to refinishing your deck, these tasks can be annoying and complex, and many homeowners don't even know where to start. So we sometimes put up projects until it's too late, and the cost of setting things right starts spinning out of control. That's why in July, Consumer Reports released Upkept, our new home maintenance app. One of the trickiest parts of maintaining a home is simply knowing what to do and when to do it. Upkept will propose a plan for keeping everything in good shape and automatically schedule and gently remind you about tasks throughout the year. And like this month's cover story on kitchen renovation, this app can make you a smarter homeowner as well. Users will learn the best time to tackle do-it-yourself projects and get step-by-step instructions and expert tips for doing them right. The app even tells you about when a job is best left to a professional. And all of this is powered by the independent, test-driven, consumer-focused experts at CR, a source you can trust. Upkept is now available for download through the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Or go to the upkepthome.com for more information. And please send feedback to Upkept, CR Consumer Organization, so we can keep improving the app in the months ahead. Upkept might not make home maintenance your favorite pastime, but it will make the marathon easier, giving you the peace of mind of all the wonderful things about your home. Cleaning up credit reports. What's at stake? In our March issue, we told you about the launch of our credit checkup project. Almost 6,000 people volunteered to check their credit reports and let us know what they found. Now we have results to share. More than a third of volunteers told us they discovered at least one error, and about 1 in 10 said they found errors related to their financial data, such as payments wrongly reported as late. This underscores a 2021 nationally representative CR survey in which 12% of the people who had ever checked their credit reports said they found errors. Such errors can hurt your credit, keeping you from securing a loan, and even prevent you from getting a job, an apartment, or affordable insurance. How CR has your back? In June, CR testified to Congress about these concerns, suggesting ways to make the industry more fair and transparent. And we're calling on the three big credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, to take specific steps to ensure that reports are accurate, including full, timely investigations of all computer disputes. We're also pressing for free and easy access to reports and scores, because you shouldn't have to pay to look at your own data. Sign our petition to do the credit bureaus at cr.org/credit0921. Establishing a right to repair. What's at stake? When a product breaks down, consumers often have to make an unnecessary, painful decision. Pay an unreasonable amount to get it running again or buy another one. The problem is that manufacturers of products ranging from smartphones and laptops to autos and home appliances sometimes make it difficult or impossible to get those products repaired by independent technicians. By restricting access to basic diagnostic information, tools, and replacement parts needed to make repairs, manufacturers force consumers to rely on the company itself or its hand-picked servicers, options that dramatically limit consumer choice and can cost far more. Some manufacturers even refuse to fix their devices, so people have no choice but to buy a new one. CR has long advocated for the right to repair laws that would guarantee consumers a right to have their devices fixed by a servicer of their choice. We led the drafting of model legislation that served as a basis for right to repair bills that have been under consideration in 27 states and for a new federal version introduced in June by Representative Joseph Morelli, Democrat, New York. What you can do? Go to House.gov to urge your representative to support the Federal Fair Repair Act. Protecting your privacy. What's at stake? Many consumers, according to a nationally representative CR survey, are concerned about the amount of data that companies such as Amazon and Google can possess about them, which can include info like birthdays, real-time location, ethnicity, job status, and shopping history. To help consumers get control over such data, CR is working to establish a rules of the road for online privacy, and although efforts to pass federal rules have stalled, gains have been made in several states. We helped to advance the landmark privacy law in California that went into effect in 2020 and are pushing to strengthen a Virginia measure that will take effect in 2023. Colorado is the third state to take action. In July, its governor signed a law giving residents the right to delete personal data collected by companies and to stop them from selling such data in the future. CR testified at hearings on the bill and worked with lawmakers to improve it. Before the bill goes into effect in 2023, CR will urge legislatures to add further protections, including making sure consumers can't be charged for exercising their privacy rights. What you can do, learn more about CR's work to help you protect your privacy and hold tech companies accountable at lab.cr.org. A progress report from CR. On June 23rd, the House approved a bipartisan vote, the Sturdy Act, which, if passed in the Senate and signed into law, would help prevent child injuries and deaths from tip-overs of dressers and other clothing storage units by establishing a national rule for furniture stability. CR testing over several years has proved that it's possible to make affordable and stable furniture, and we work with parent advocates, companies, and policymakers to ensure strong mandatory standards. Go to cr.org/sturdy0921 to urge your senators to pass the Sturdy Act. On July 20, 2021 article, The Danger of Big Trucks investigated the safety risk that large pickup trucks pose to pedestrians and other drivers on the road. Here our readers share their experiences and concern. My son was almost run over on his first day of kindergarten by a super large red pickup. The truck was first in line and my car was second. I saw the teacher cross in front of the truck leading a line of kindergartners. As soon as the truck driver thought the last kid was by, she started to roll her wheels. I had the most horrible feeling and screamed stop at the top of my lungs. She did, and out from behind her bumper came a little blonde head, my son. Not so hidden danger with these trucks. The headlights are mounted so high off the ground that when a truck is behind a smaller car its headlight shines straight into the rearview mirror. The driver in the small car is almost blind, almost always blinded. Editor's note, though there are limits on the amount of glare all LED lights are allowed to produce, and many states limit the height to which they can be mounted, the mismatch in height between full-size pickups and lower vehicles can indeed put a significant amount of light right into a smaller car's rearview mirror. These mismatches have become more prevalent as more people opt for larger trucks. If you can't safely pull over to let a truck pass, temporarily adjust your rearview mirror so it doesn't shine in your eyes. I'm very troubled by how big trucks become in recent years. As your article suggests, it's about marketing and profit. But from a usability standpoint, I don't see how bigger is any more usable. Trucks are so tall, it's as though you need a forklift to get anything in and out of the bed. It's nuts. A word of caution. Manufacturers need to be held accountable for defects and flaws. But how someone uses a product is on them, not the manufacturer. We need safe drivers, not products that attempt to compensate for unsafe drivers. I appreciate your article about the danger of large trucks. The size of these vehicles poses additional risk, including parking lots. Being in an average sedan and having a large truck parked on either side makes pulling out of a space dangerous. Vision to either side is minimal. Everybody has the right to drive what they want, but my concern is this will continue to cause accidents and injuries. If you're riding around by yourself, do you really need a vehicle that large? Your article on big trucks made me think of my cycling experience over the years. Truckers, at least those around here, are notoriously aggressive, often speed up to pass cyclists, and pass too closely. Cyclists usually pay a higher price for a vehicle encounter, and the drivers are poorly educated about cycling laws. Yes, some cyclists are irresponsible and disregard their own safety rules. Isn't that all the more reason to carefully negotiate around cyclists? I don't own a pickup, but I think the onus is on the pedestrian to cross the street safely. I was taught to look both ways and then look again. If you're in a crosswalk, you can be right, but you don't want to be dead right. How about a couple of life in these United States to close out? Dubious claims my toddler made this week. He invented the phrase thumbs up. Only some lizards can read. He forgot how to eat carrots. His daycare allows swords. The next time my linguist boyfriend ticks me off, I'm going to say irregardless and see what he does. I know it sounds mean, but when I'm mad at my wife and want to lash out, I open a bottle of some condiment when there's already one open. I now charge my wife for finding things for her that are in plain sight. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time, please. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening. Oh, and a side of a bit of an advertisement. At some point in the near future, we're going to do a special on the North Carolina Art Museum and the benefits that are there for visually impaired. Thanks again for listening. Bye.